Welcome to the Stepping Up Become Who You Are Meant to Be podcast. I am your host, Nikki Gingrich, and I'm so excited to have you here with me. Whether this is your first episode here, or your, I don't even know what number we're at, or if you've been with me before, I want to give a huge shout out and say thank you so much for joining me. I've got an incredible interview with you today. I spoke with Brittany Erin Gray, and she is an amazing mother, an entrepreneur, and she's just doing incredible things in this world. And when I first ventured out onto my entrepreneurial journey, Brittany was one of the very first people I was connected with through a mutual friend. And it was my network of people that really helped carry me through and continue to carry me through. So the value of networking and reaching out to people is just incredible, because they will put you in touch with somebody who might be able to help you or have some more information for you. And Brittany was someone that I met. I remember when we sat down, we had coffee, and we just talked about that journey from leaving your comfortable, cushy position and your paycheck and all of those things to being an entrepreneur and really taking that leap of faith. And this girl just gave it to me straight. She didn't sugarcoat it. She said it was hard. She told me about her challenges and what she was doing and how she was getting through. But it was inspirational, because she said it was so worth it. And I think that's what the message is at the end. And Brittany and I talk about all about her journey. We talk about what it was like for her with her children and being a mother and being a single parent for some time and then being an entrepreneur. So you are going to get some really, really good information from Brittany. So Brittany Gray pronounces herself as an accidental entrepreneur. She is the owner of BU Marketing, which is a social media marketing and consulting firm based out of the Lehigh Valley, Pennsylvania. She and her other half spend their time raising a big blended family of 5 kids, a new puppy. She works hard and they travel as much as possible. When we did our interview, they had just gotten back from a trip in Disney World. So kudos to her for coming off of that trip from Disney with 5 kids. We were actually supposed to watch her dog for her. We didn't get to. Somebody else watched her dog, but we were a little sad, but always happy to help out. So she is very active in the women empowerment movement, and she focuses on women-owned and nonprofit businesses. So without further ado, Brittany Gray. Hi, Brittany. Thank you so much for being here today. I'm so excited to chat with you.
Hi, Nikki. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So let's just jump right in. Let's get started. Tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Like you said, that's a loaded question, right? So, I am a very busy mama. That's probably the best way to explain. I actually have my mama bear shirt on today. Can you see that? I have 2 biological children, and my boyfriend and I have a blended family, of 5 children and the 2 of us. So we have a very, very busy household and lots of love. So that's my favorite way to start off. But I'm also a business owner, and I like to say I'm an unexpected business owner, an unexpected entrepreneur, because it's not anywhere I ever saw myself. Both of my parents worked for the federal government and, you know, made good money, had good predictable jobs. And I always saw myself going into that exact same thing. As a matter of fact, I made no plans outside of college, because my plan was to get an internship with the government and to ride through the government my entire life. So, yeah, being an entrepreneur now, it's funny. I say, you know, when you plan, God laughs. And I'd say that's probably the best description of my life, because I've tried to do a whole lot of planning and none of it has quite turned out the way that I thought. So trying to be better with, letting things come to me, and entrepreneurship and, you know, being on my own, is a part of that. So my business is called BU Marketing, and, I specifically focus on social media, consulting, management, different marketing efforts, and collaboration with overall marketing in the social media part of that. So it's been a very interesting turn. I've been doing that for about 2.5 years now. And I came from corporate America. And I think that's really what gave me the push to make the big solid leap into doing my own thing, because I tried to convince myself again, that I could work in a corporate setting or a government setting and do just fine, but I wasn't built for it. I really wasn't. So so I'm excited to be 2.5 years in business now and coming up on my third year and having learned a whole lot. Not to mention that when you have your own business, you know, the flexibility that it provides as far as being able to make my own schedule has been invaluable for our kind of crazy family life. So that's me. I'm pretty much just busy all the time, either at work or with kids, and trying to maintain some semblance of sanity in the process.
Yeah. Well, I love when you said when you plan, God laughs. I had a friend in high school, and I guess, you know, you put your quotes in the yearbook. Like, if you want to make God laugh, just tell him your plans. You're like, that's so, yeah. When you think you're going to do this, you're funny. Like, that's not, nope, that's not what you're supposed to do. So what was that transition? So you weren't expecting to become an entrepreneur. It wasn't what you were anticipating. So what was that like for you? It wasn't something that you were looking to do. You weren't constant. So tell me what that transition was like, kind of what led up to it. Yeah.
Well, I had gotten out of I had been gotten out of my marriage, and it was really, you know, toxic environment, and I was working really, really hard on healing and just, you know, doing better things with my life. And one of the things I realized really quickly was that from my marriage, that my intuition was like broken. It's a self-preservation method when you're in it to just kind of turn it off and tell yourself that all the red flags you're seeing aren't red flags. And so you just by default end up with no intuition. And so I left not really even thinking about that or addressing it, but all of a sudden, I was miserable at my corporate job, and I kept having this nagging feeling, you need to do something on your own. You need to quit. And I was a single mom with two girls at that point. And I keep, obviously I'm just going to continue to shove that down. Like, I cannot quit. That is not funny. Like, knock it off. Right. So I keep just having that conversation with myself. And, you know, in the corporate world, I had a really good job, a really nice title. I was a client serve, you know, client manager. I helped build relationships, keep relationships, in the sales department of our organization. And it felt, you know, like pretty good. And I made really good money. And so I just kept shoving it down. But I would sit in my car outside my house and stare at, or outside of work as I pulled up. I would stare at the building, and there were, I can count multiple times when I had to throw the door open and dry heave into the parking lot because I thought I was going to throw up. And I couldn't live like that. My phone would ring at my desk next to me, and my whole body would shake. And it was just, I mean, I had gone through therapy before I left my marriage and identified that I had anxiety issues. So those certainly played into it, but that job triggered my anxiety worse than anything I could ever imagine. I felt so out of control in that. And as a person with anxiety, as you feel like as much as you can control, the less anxiety you will have. And since I felt completely out of control, it took hold of my life. So I would come home. Again, I'm already splitting time with my children. I would throw myself down on the couch after a long day of work, and they'd say, "Mommy, mommy, let's play a game. Mommy, mommy, let's have dinner." And I'd be like, "Mommy's exhausted." Like, I had nothing left to give. And it was hard enough being a working mother. You struggle with the guilt of, you know, being at work, and then here I was at a job that made me miserable, and then I couldn't even spend time with them. So it was a long process of convincing myself that I need to do something else. So that started as putting together my resume and interviewing other places. Well, I had a sales experience at that point. I felt pretty confident in it. And so all the organizations I ended up talking to, and even got a couple job offers from, were all sales organizations that wanted me to build from the bottom up. So it was like, "Hey, we need you to like start really, really low." And like, we can't, some places could guarantee me some income, but it was definitely not enough for me to get by. So it just got to the point where I was like, and I turned all of them down because I couldn't financially afford it. So it got to the point where I was like, basically I either have to make a step like that, or if I'm going to do that anyway, why wouldn't I just do something that I wanted to do? So I had learned a lot about social media as far as like a marketing tool and being able to like use it for branding and marketing yourself from working through an MLM, and I hated the MLM. Like I hated selling a product, but I was so fascinated by how to use social media to kind of sell yourself. So instead of being good at sales doing that, I went off and learned as much as I could about social media. And so I literally had this epiphany one day, sitting down on a Sunday morning by myself at this little cafe near the apartment I used to live in, with this huge muffin, a huge cup of coffee. I took a picture of it. I went to Instagram it, and the coffee shop I was sitting at, I couldn't find their page to tag them. And I had this like crisis moment of like, I'm like searching back through, am I looking wrong? It sounds so stupid, but I was having this entire like epiphany about this place not having an Instagram. They built beautiful cakes that my family had eaten for 10, 15 years. They had this big, beautiful display case, and I was having an existential crisis about their Instagram platform. So it was really in that moment where I got that thing, like the light over the head. And I can't say I've had very many moments like that in my life, but it was like, this is what you're supposed to do. So I was sitting in the same place. I texted a friend of mine who owned her own business, a physical brick and mortar location walk into. She had a relatively new business, and I texted her and said, I had this thought and I wondered if you might be willing to talk to me about it. And she ended up, you know, saying, yeah, let's do it. Let's work together. And it wasn't for payment or anything. I was just trying to get my feet wet. Then I did pick up another client and another client. So at that point, I had decided that that momentum was enough. And I used that to give my final date since I was in a sales job in corporate life, I had a commission payout that was due to me. And I scheduled my quit date as about a month after that. So yeah. I could bank all the money, use it to start building my business and provide for us. And so I quit in July of 2016 to do this full time, but it was a huge process getting there. And one of the big things for me is, and I know a friend of us, both of ours, Allison, connected us,
yeah,
because she knew how much I had been through trying to start a business and wanted me to be able to connect with you when you were planning to do the same thing, mm-hmm. because you just learn so much in that first year. And that's that I felt like if I look back on it now, I would say, oh, I should have probably waited at least another 6 months and built a little bit more or educated myself a little bit more. So that's usually the advice I give to other people who are starting businesses is to, you know, invest as much time as you can in the beginning into the actual business side, especially because I'm a creative person and all of my services are creative services. I'm not a business like savvy person. And so that I feel like ended up being a downside for me and something I've had to learn as I go. And I'm just now feeling much more comfortable as far as being like a business owner and not just providing services. Yeah. So definitely a learning process and yeah, but that's how I got to becoming an entrepreneur.
Yeah. That's an incredible journey. And I love that and I want to go back to touching on intuition because I think that's a huge piece, but I just want to make a comment on your aha moment of how many times we have those aha moments where you have that like, oh, that's a good idea. I'm not good. I just, and how you even said it before, like, I'm just going to push it down. Like, that's not possible. Yeah. And you know, you can see you talked about how you had lost touch with your intuition. And then by the time you had that aha moment, it feels like you were a little more in touch. You're like, I'm just going to ask a question and I'm going to take a step. So talk to me about getting in touch with your intuition. So you have lost touch with it. You know, I was actually at an event this weekend and they basically talked about, we have women's intuition, but we don't always listen to it. Like, why don't we listen to it? What are we doing? And I think as we get older, we just naturally, or as become moms and we're working, we just get so wrapped up in the day-to-day, the stuff that we don't stop and listen to ourselves and listen to what our body is telling us as we're drive heaving in the parking lot because we don't want to go. Right. We're shaking because the phone's ringing. And I get it where you're sitting in the car and you're like, there's just that gut feeling where you're like, I don't even want to walk out of the car and go into the building, but you just kind of like suck it up. Like, girl, I don't have time for this right now. I got to keep going. So how did you reignite that conversation with your intuition and to get in touch with it?
Well, I will tell you that it's not until now, like probably over the past 6 months, when I have consciously said to myself that you need to focus on your intuition. Mm-hmm. It's probably not until that point that I realized that all those things I just mentioned were my intuition.
Yeah.
So let me first off say that it's not like I was like, there's my intuition, because I did not feel like that at all. But now, I mean, let me give you an example. And it, again, this seems so silly, but it's such a perfect example of how I had gotten, I still struggle with getting back in touch with my intuition. We were playing a game with my teenage stepsons where it's on the TV, but you answer on your phone and you like put in, you know, different silly answers, or you select from like A, B, C, D, and it's just this fun. We had a blast on New Year's Eve playing it. Yeah. And the one is the multiple choice question, and it's an actual trivia question. And I kept noticing over and over again that, so this is not even 2 months ago now. I kept noticing that I would immediately have a gut reaction to what I should answer. Then I would think about it. And if I noticed that if I changed my answer to what my initial reaction was, I was always wrong. And it's so silly, some silly little game sitting in the living room playing it. But it reminded me that I'm working towards building up my intuition. I need to do more towards trusting my gut. And that's really more of what it is. There is that feeling in there, and we all have it. And we either learn to ignore it, or we can learn to embrace it. But it's having the trust in yourself and the confidence in yourself that you're not going to lead yourself wrong. I have my own Facebook group that I, you know, talk with. We have a lot of women in there. It's all women. We talk a lot about, you know, healing from trauma, moving on from trauma, having been through past abuse, things like that. And I told them one day, and usually you tell other people the advice you need yourself, you know. Yeah. And I remember putting in there one day, like, your intuition. If you hear that nagging voice telling you that you're not worthy, you're not great, you're not enough, that's not your intuition. Your intuition will absolutely never make you feel like that. And you have to remember that. Your intuition is the voice that's trying to push you forward. It is never going to be the voice that's trying to pull you back. And even as I typed it, I feel like it was a thought that hadn't occurred to me before. And it was such a deep realization for me that if I'm paying attention to my voices, and the other thing I've also learned over the past few months is to not address the negative voices. Yeah. For example, it's still stressful for me to have conversation with my ex. And when a text message comes in, my heart will sink. Like, I will feel my heart in my gut. And it's a conscious process for me to work out of that feeling. So lately, instead of just being like, you know, like just sitting in it, I'll say like to myself, I hear you, fear. I see you there, and I appreciate what you're trying to do, but it's not necessary. So I've been trying to do better at engaging the negative thoughts and addressing them like, hi, I see you there. This one lady I listened to on a podcast, she calls it like your like inner children. Like, you have like this pile of inner children who all want attention. And if you don't give it to them, they just keep going. And so I look at it as, like, hi, I see you there, and I acknowledge your presence. I just don't need you right this minute. So that's taking care of the negative conversation, and that then gives rise to my intuition to come in and actually fill in with those positive thoughts. And usually it will be in response to my conversation with the negative. So it'd be like, you're right. You don't need that, because this is a totally fine conversation. And even if it doesn't go your way, it's all going to work out. And so just trying to not suppress the negative, to address it and give my intuition the room to speak. And that has been my biggest lesson lately, is knowing that the two are okay and they can coexist together. Because I think, even though I had been through therapy for 4 straight years, I mean, 2 years weekly, really working on trying to pull that back to me. I think I still thought that the negative voices were just bad, like they were just bad. And just like everything in life, there's gray, right? It's more gray. It's not good or bad. It's kind of gray. It's like it's there, and you can still use that to acknowledge and then use it to help you build your intuition. So being able to be aware of both, I think, has been tremendously helpful for me.
Yeah. And it's in the acknowledgement of it, of, you know, I equate it to, you know, I'm looking to start something and I'm like, wait, and then the negative talk comes in of like, you can't do that. What are you, crazy? And I did the same thing probably about a week ago. And I went from the advice of a mutual friend of ours. She's like, talk to that girl. I'm like, hey, I see you're trying to protect me. I appreciate your kindness for putting the fear there to cut. You're trying to protect me. I totally get it, but I don't need you right now. We're good. We got this. We're going to go in this direction. Like literally talking to that negative thought or that negative emotion as if it's another person. It's like, hey, ego, you're here. I see you, but I don't need you right now. We don't need to go in this direction. We're safe. We're in a safe place. Let's go this way and we'll be fine. But rather than like a complete ignorance of it, of like, how do I not just want it to go away? Well, you're right. If you keep pushing it away, it's going to come back stronger and stronger and stronger.
It does. It really does. And I think that just learning to acknowledge any part of you that's speaking is going to give it like the permission to come back through comfortably. And the other thing I just shared in my group this past week was, sometimes your intuition, like you might want to pay attention because sometimes it's going to piss you off. Like it's not always, it's not those negative thoughts, but sometimes it will want to push you. Like maybe you've been hearing, like me starting my own business, like that nagging, like I was starting to get pissed at it, right? Yeah. Like, would you shut up? I'm not doing it. That is crazy talk. No way. Mm-hmm. So it's okay that it riles something up in you. And as a matter of fact, it's just like when you're dealing with other people in life, if you're triggered by somebody else, you need to check that within yourself. It's not that person, it's you. They're triggering something within you. And it's the same thing with what your intuition is trying to tell you. If it's trying to tell you something and that is triggering you, you need to work through that because you need to figure out where. For me, it was complete lack of confidence that I could ever do something like that. Yeah. So that's what I had to address first and foremost, that I was willing to at least take the risk to try and get to that point. But I'm telling you what, it just made me very, very mad for a long, long time. As a matter of fact, I mean, my boyfriend and I just bought this house just about a year ago, but he actually said to me right around the time I was thinking I need to quit, like, hey, let's start thinking about buying a house. And I remember being like, oh my gosh. Like, and this is when I was like at that point where I was about ready to be like, I have to quit my job. Yeah. And so I remember being like, oh my gosh, like how can I? And that's such a testament to finally being in a healthy, committed relationship, because before I think I would have absolutely let that talk me out of my intuition, that I would have just been like, oh no, we need to do this. This is what's best for our family. Shove it down in and like move on. But instead, like I remember it was exactly a week later. I sat next to him. I said, listen, about this thing we talked about, I need to tell you how I'm feeling. And I had no idea. I didn't know if he was going to be like, start a business. Are you crazy? You know, like, I didn't know. I mean, he's always been wonderful and supportive, but I didn't know if he'd be like, well, I would love to, but like, maybe there's another way we could think of it, or we could put it over 5 years, or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
But he was like, no, like, listen, we can have the biggest, most beautiful house in the world, but if you come home to it miserable because you hate your job, that's not the life we are going for. So we will address what you need first before we even think about this. And I'm really proud of myself, like that I was able to come back to him, and took me a week, but be able to come back and say, like, my intuition's telling me this, and I think I need to at least look into it. And and obviously having that support at home is invaluable.
Yeah. And it's true. It's that A, the support that you need, because sometimes you need someone outside of you to be like, okay, it's okay. You know, kind of giving you permission to be like, all right, well, let's figure this out. And to also say, we have to give it a shot. You know, it's not a, oh my God, if I do this, I'm doomed forever. You know, Because even when I did it, and I was like, well, if it doesn't work, I'll just go get another job.
Right. Exactly. That's worst case scenario. And how like, bad is that really? It'll be
okay. Yeah. We will figure it out. All will be well. But it's having that support and kind of having that behind you saying, okay, I'm with you. You know, I think without that, that's a huge piece. And I remember when I said it to my husband, I was like, so, I mean, and he had watched me for months just break down and break down and break down. And by the time I was like, this is it. Like, I just have to do it. And, you know, he was like, well, it wasn't even a, well, what are we going to do? And he was like, okay, because coming home to a beautiful house and everything's all decorated and it's perfect and you've got the car you want, but deep down inside you're completely miserable. What is all of this stuff on the exterior worth it if on the inside you're just like falling apart?
Absolutely. You know? Yes. So.
Yeah. I'm so glad that you had that support.
Yeah.
And now you guys have the house that you're.
Well, you think about it, right? Like, who knows if we had went to look for a house then, you know, we wouldn't be where we are now. I'm like looking at our beautiful view that we have, and we ended up in exactly the right place. And I am somebody, I probably have believed in intuition and known my intuition was there for a long time, but I've always, instead of necessarily identifying it as intuition, I've always, especially probably the past 5 or 6 years, I've looked for signs. Signs are such a big thing for me. Especially since my sister passed away 2 years ago. She was a redhead, and I see cardinals at our house all the time. And, not only are cardinals a sign of like people who, it's always the flaming red cardinal that comes and perches. And the very first day that I came here, I think the day we moved like Kevin in, because I moved in after, I think it was the day we moved him in, I saw that cardinal sitting there, and it was just sitting there like looking in the window. And I was like, oh my gosh. Like, so I'm not kidding. I'll be like heading somewhere like to a big important meeting or something, and a cardinal will swoop in front of me. Like, it happens all the time. And so I look at that as a way to connect to my intuition, or more of like a reassurance that I feel this way. And signs are showing me that I'm on the right path. So for me, I've seen it a whole lot with this house in particular. And so, it's been pretty cool to be able to see that like in action, you know, that it's real. And like, I know I'm where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah. It's like that settling feeling too. You're like, oh, okay, I don't have to worry about it anymore. And
yes,
it's amazing. It is.
I wish I was one of those people that didn't need reassurance all the time. Yeah. And I've gotten so much better. Like, even I had no idea how to make decisions on my own when I left my marriage. I had no idea. And I was terrified to decide on an apartment. And I mean, heck, decide what like energy provider to go with in my new apartment for my PPL electric. Like, I was like, there's so many decisions. I was a nervous wreck. And it's funny because Kevin now will say to me, like, do you remember when you were terrified just to like put together your water bill and all, like, do you remember that? And you know, see where you are now. Like, isn't that hysterical? You know, like, that you were so afraid. But that is such a testament to that it takes time and it takes practice. Like, I'm definitely a person who I can try for a couple of days and be like, I give up. Like, I like things have usually come to me pretty naturally. And so when things are hard, I do have a tendency to bail. And man, that was the biggest lesson I learned in entrepreneurship, because that I still look back and I'm like, I'm not sure how I survived that first year, because I'm pretty sure I just cried for 365 days straight, because I'm a very emotional person. That's been something I've had to, I don't want to say rein in, because that's not it. I actually have learned how to embrace it, but it is an extra component of being on my own, because it's not like before when I used to spin around. I will say, in corporate life, I had the most amazing coworkers. I was so blessed. I still talk to so many of them still to this day. But I would turn around and be like, here, I'm having this issue and I'm so frustrated. And they'd be like, hey, well, I had this one time and let me help you and let's do this. So missing that piece is really, really tough. Having every emotional burden land on my own shoulders is really, really hard. And that was something I had to adjust to because not that I don't still do it to an extent today, but every no was like a dagger. And I had to learn that getting no's gets me closer to a yes, and there's no problem. So a lot of it's had to do with like trying to find like an inner peace, like just to say, oh my gosh, like I wish you all the best. And, I look forward to seeing you again in the future. And you know what's ended up happening now that I'm better at that, where I can say, like, totally understand it might not be the right time, like all the best to you, is I've ended up turning having clients come back. Like people come back sometimes like a week or two later and being like, you know what? I thought about it more and I absolutely do need this. And so just learning how to have that peace with the no and knowing that it's not a broken relationship. It's not because they had anything personal against me. It might not have been the right fit for me. It might not have been the right time. That's another really important aspect of why getting in touch with my intuition has been important, because you absolutely need to get in touch with your intuition to run a business. You have to. I have been through so many nightmare clients that I realize now that there were signs every single time. Every time something in my body, something in my soul told me, like, I don't know. I don't know if that's a good fit. I don't know if that's going to work out. Or there was a question I knew I should ask, but I probably knew the answer and it meant that they weren't going to become a client. So having the guts to say, like, intuition is right. Again, it's the trusting. I trust you. I trust you to ask that question and get the real answer. Sometimes, and now that I'm better at it, sometimes I ask that question, it's surprise, right? It's like, no, we are fully committed for 6 months and we do want to whatever. It's the answers. I was really good at assuming I knew how everybody was going to respond to everything. And instead, I just focus more on me and what I can do, what I can say, what I can control, and let other people respond and then react accordingly to that. So being in touch with your intuition as far as knowing what clients to take on, whether adding certain services makes sense. I have a ton of, because I do one component of a really large arena, right? Marketing in general. I work with a lot of partners, a lot of videographers, graphic designers, website designers. There's a traditional marketing, print marketing. I mean, there's a huge thing, and I've worked with people in every multiple people in every single different aspect of marketing. So being able to know that, this is a good partnership or this is a good idea, or you know what, I just don't think we have the same intentions. We don't have the same drive. We don't have the same work ethic. There's all those things to consider. And instead of just sitting down and mulling through all of it, I'm just trying to pay more attention to, like, what's my gut tell me? And I find when I follow my gut, I'll look back like a while later and be like, man, isn't that funny? Like, that was spot on. So once you get into the rhythm of recognizing that it's your intuition and then seeing what happened from it, your confidence will go up so much faster. And that is why it takes time, because you have to build that confidence that your intuition is on the mark, it's on point.
And it's true, because if you try to force something, if you're trying to, I just want to make this one thing work, or I just want to get this one client, you're like, but do you really? And now you just committed yourself to like 3 months of, hell, because you're working with somebody who you don't want to work with anymore, or you're doing something that doesn't feel good to you, and that's such a huge piece. And then I think there's also this piece of you have to fail in order to learn the lesson. Like, if we constantly had successes in life, would that really be, I mean, we'd be like, yeah, that'd be great and amazing, but really, would something be missing? Like, you almost kind of need those moments of, and you don't even want to call them failure. It's just a lesson. Okay, I worked with this person. That was the wrong thing. Why was that the wrong thing? So then when someone comes along, you can be like, nope, that's not where I want to go. And I work with a coach and he talks about a lot. Well, he'll say, he has two things that he says. And I have them up on my wall, but it's one is, what if you are one failure away from success? So that one failure, the one thing that just keep pushing forward and keep going forward. And then the other one is action breeds clarity. The more you do, the more you learn, and then you keep improving and getting better. You know, if you expect to be perfect out of the gate, like it's just, it's not, I mean, and I could look at, you know, where my business started in June or July and be like, it's, I had a plan. The plan didn't go exactly as I had I took action and I was like, well, let's, you know, you work with a coach and like, we'll try this. And I'm like, I'm willing to try anything. So let's try it.
Right.
I don't like it. We're not going to move forward with it. Okay. Let's try it again and see, you know, and you just kind of are constantly in this, what's the word? Like you're just in this flow of like things. It's not a straight line. You know, it's like, let's try it here. See if this works. We'll go here. See if this works. But really listening to your intuition saying, do I want to keep going in this way? Or do I want to pivot and try this? Like what, you know, what feels good? What feels right? You know, you left a job for a reason because it didn't feel right. Leave a job so that you can be an entrepreneur to do work that still doesn't feel right.
Right. You know? Yes. That's so true. That's such an important aspect. And I'm with you on the perfectionism, man. That's a tough one. That I actually have no qualms whatsoever to say, I am nowhere near perfect, but I don't give myself grace to make mistakes. And I think everybody's got a story. Everybody has all those things leading up to why they react in certain ways. And for me, you know, growing up in a household with, my sister was 10 years older than I was and struggled with addiction for 20 years prior to her death. So, I grew up in a household with, you know, a lot of problems and not problem. Like I had great parents, great siblings, like a good life, but there was this struggle. And so for me, it was like, I don't want to step a toe out of line. I was so terrified to like make more problems for my parents that perfectionism just like, it just ingrained itself in me. And so that has been a process trying to undo that and be unafraid of making mistakes.
Yeah.
I love what you said about like that action breeds clarity, right? So all these different things, I think over especially the first 2 years of my business, I thought, why do I keep failing? What am I doing wrong? What am I? Mm-hmm. But it really led me to be like, wait, I was actually just like, now I have things so clear cut that now if somebody comes to me and they're like, oh, I need this. I'm like, yeah, I don't do that. And instead before it would be like scrambling to try to figure out how to fit something into a mold, like a circle, like a square peg in a round hole. Right. Mm-hmm. And so just learning to search for the round pegs for a round hole made it make so much more sense that like, okay, that's nothing against them. That's nothing against me. It's just not a good partnership for us. Or yeah, you know what? I didn't do that great for that client and here's how I'm going to learn from it. And even if I lost them and even if they were pissed, you know, whatever it was, that doesn't mean that I'm not learning from it and moving forward. Cause I am that person. I always say like, I, for some reason, God has to give me all of my lessons in the hardest way possible. Like there can't just be little ways to learn things. I get them smack upside the face. And, but I feel like that has led me to the point I am now where I'm actually feeling comfortable in my business. I'm actually feeling like I'm following, a much clearer path that has paved itself because of my actions and my intentions. So
oh, that's incredible. It is, and it's also true. So I'm just so excited for you. But I want to hear a little bit about how you navigate the world of motherhood and entrepreneurship. So I was gonna ask a specific question. I'm just gonna ask you to say how do you navigate that world?
Well, I would say, especially because now I have the ability to make my own schedule, that it has been invaluable to our lives. Just being able to, I mean, I feel like I'm so much more connected with my kids now, even though I probably do more work than I did before. But if I want to do work when they're in bed, that's fine. When they're with their dad, I can work, you know, 12 hours and nobody notices anything, right? It's like, Those are the days I get the most in. I try to get as many meetings in on the days I don't have them or when they're in school. And there's also the fact that, especially because I'm new to the Lehigh Valley, moving my business here and getting established and trying to meet new people, there have been a lot of networking events or different things that I have to sacrifice time with my kids in order to go and do those. And the mom guilt had me pretty hard for a while when I'd have to leave them even for just like 2 hours just to go to an event. And it's gotten to the point where instead of putting some negative spin on it, particularly to them, like, I'm gonna miss you so much, which I am, but instead it's like, mommy is going to meet potentially new people that could help me grow my business. Like, how exciting is that? And so they're actually at the point now where they get excited for me, where, they might, especially if it's like it's been, around the time a time where I haven't seen them for a couple of days or something, they'll be like, oh, we don't want you to leave. And I'll reinforce that, like, it's awesome that like mommy gets to go build her business. And think about the other flexibility it gives me. I am the parent, the room parent for each of my two daughters. I don't know what I was thinking signing up for that. It's been a crazy year, but I get to like be involved in all of their stuff in their classroom. I go to like every party. I'm like, creating all these different little things for them to do in there. I just feel like I'm so much more involved with them now that I have this flexibility, because again, I can set up my schedule in a way that, I either have a lot going on these days, or I'm doing stuff like actual work when they're asleep or they're in school or what have you. So it's just been trying to better focus that it's not taking time away from my children. It's showing my children what their mommy can do. And that I think that reframing is really what changed things for me. The other thing I just wanted to like tell the quick story of whenever I went in for my checkup after I had my second daughter, and I had this great tiny little Italian doctor lady who had three kids of her own, and she was probably maybe like, mid-30s, I'd say. So definitely we're able to kind of be on the same page. And she always gave it to me straight. She delivered my first child and was there for my entire labor for my second child. So we had a trust level there, like she knew me, we knew each other. And she said, how are you feeling? And I said, body wise, I'm feeling good. And, everything's going well, but I have to go back to work in like 2 weeks. And I'm totally stressing out about it because I have to leave my baby. I'm gonna miss my kids. And she just deadpan looked at me and said, you don't want to be a stay-at-home mom. That's not what you want, Brittany. That is not who you are. And I was like, oh my goodness. Like, I was so taken aback at her bluntness, because I never would have been able to say that to myself, I don't think. I think if I would have said that to myself, I would have guilted myself out of it. And when she said it to me, I said, you know what? You're right. You're right. I love my kids to death, but I want to work. Like, I want to accomplish a whole lot in this world. And being a great mother is one of those things I want to accomplish, and I feel like I am. But I also want to make other impacts other places too. And so I felt like she almost, like, without asking, she gave me that permission. And so ever since then, I feel like I've reframed being a working mom instead of it being a bad thing to it being a good thing, especially because I already share time with my kids. I feel like I've learned the importance of quality time with my children versus the quantity of time with them. So even if you get, I mean, how many, a lot of, traditional relationships where there's, two parents and children in one house and you have your kids all the day. I know a lot of relationships like that, a lot of families like that, where they still feel like they don't get very much quality time with their children. So instead, I am very intentional about the type of quality time I get with my kids. They still get their free time, especially because we have a blended family. They don't see each other every single day. So the kids want to like go off and do their own thing. And and have a great time. So I give them space for them to have quality time with other people in our house. I give them space to just kind of be themselves and be kids. Mm-hmm. And then I make sure that I have that space and that time to focus on them and to be able to, you know, sit down and have that time with them, or what, for an additional together or whatever it is. We also have a whole lot of time in the car between, you know, me and my two daughters. So that, you know, we listen to podcasts and we talk about them and we listen to music and we jam out and we, you know, we do those quality time activities that are so much more enriching to me, that I almost feel like I have a better relationship now that I know how to prioritize that. And in the meantime, I also get to show them what their mommy can do by building a business. So I think it's all about perspective. I really do. You can sit and beat yourself up all day long about being a working mama. You sure can. But what's that going to teach your kids in the long run? And I don't think it's probably the type of lessons that you want them to be taught. So,
yeah, no, and I agree. And I say the same thing. But it took me a while to come out, to literally be like, I'm coming out, I'm going to say it. I don't want to stay home with my kids. And even this year when I was like, okay, I've got a preschooler, I had the option to not send him for 5 days a week.
Yeah.
And I really grappled with it, but it was because I thought I was going to be perceived as a bad parent because, well, aren't you working from home
now? Aren't you at home? Yep.
He could do 3 days a week or 2 days. And I go, no, he needs to be there for five. And
yes.
And I don't, but it took me quite a while to really, I had to rationalize it with myself and be like, no, this isn't what you want. So I could stop rationalizing it with other people.
Yes.
And like downplaying of going, I don't want to. And he's better off being in school and me picking him up at 3 o'clock. I mean, and then I've got a kindergartner who's in school full day anyway. So it is, but it's really kind of saying it. I'm going, all right, I'm going to say it. I don't know what's going to happen. Don't like judge me all you want. This is who I am, but it's hard. And the more conversations I have with women, the more I hear that of, but I want to work, but it's almost like a whisper of like, but I kind of want to.
Yeah.
I kind of don't want to be home. That's okay. Like, it's okay to feel embrace that way. It. You know,
well, in even coming out and saying it is one thing, but then also being unwilling to take the guilt is another thing. I feel like you need to be able to say it, and then also to minimize the amount of guilt you give yourself. Maybe there is 1 week where it's just been nonstop and you've had all these meetings and it's tacked up your time. And maybe it's also kind of tied up your mind so much that even when you're with your kids, you're not really with your kids. And that happens. And so there's times like that where I'm like, okay, total mom guilt. Like I need to spend quality time with them. But then I just look at it as like, that's a trigger, right? That was my indication that I need to be proactive in assigning some time for just them.
Yeah.
So there's no need for the guilt that we put on ourselves because it's not helping us in any way. The best way is just to be intentional with your time and to try to figure out the best way to fit in quality time with your kids, where you can also have sanity by doing your own thing, whether that's running a business, working out of the home, working away from home, even if that's you being a stay-at-home mom, but you need that time to yourself. So figuring out when you can get your workouts in, figuring out when you can get some time just to yourself. These are all things. It doesn't matter whether you're working or not. We all need to look at that quality of time with our kids and how to assign that and to allow for that, but not drown ourselves in motherhood in the meantime, because motherhood is like, I think if you look at my hats, that's my biggest hat. And it's the most important one to me, but I do still have a lot of other hats that are also really important to me too. And knowing that that's okay. And that you don't have to apologize for it.
Yeah. Oh gosh. That was spot on. That's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. So as we wrap up, I know you talked about your social media business. So tell us how people can kind of find you on that end, but then also, and you briefly mentioned your Facebook group. So I want you to share kind of how people can find you on the social media end, but then also just share briefly about your Facebook group and what that is. I know, because I'm sure there's someone who's listening who would benefit from both, either, whatever. So
yeah,
both of them. So
yeah. Well, for my business is a little more straightforward. So if you want to find out more about my business, it's BEYOU-marketing.com. And you can find me on Facebook, BU Marketing. I have a Facebook page. You can find me there as well. And I'm also on LinkedIn as Brittany Gray, G-R-A-Y. So find me any of those places as far as business is concerned. And as far as my Facebook group, it's called Set to Rise. And it is, it's really my initiative for women empowerment. And for me, it was like, let's just bring a bunch of women together that they can trust and support the other people inside of them, inside of the group. And that was really where it started from. And that was one of those things where it was so heavy on my heart for so long. I just developed it and started like running it without 100% intention of where it was going to go. So that group has really transformed into a whole lot of positive support. Again, a lot of us have been through traumas. A lot of us have been through past abuses or are trying to mitigate some current situations, but it's not a woe is me, here's my situation, like I can't get out of it. We're very much positive, optimistic, uplifting. And I think most people in the group who actively participate would say that it feels like a safe space. So I just try to provide that safe space. I provide some guidance. I have a psychology background, so I'm like deeply analytical with a lot of our emotions and things like that. I did a full month of self-awareness prompts where I asked you some questions to reflect internally, and that went over really well. We had, I wouldn't say a lot of fun with that, because that's not the most fun process in the world, is saying, how do I react when I get angry? It's like, ooh, I don't know that I want to go there, but those are the kind of things that we cover. So again, the group is on Facebook, Set to Rise, and there will be a podcast forthcoming in relation to probably a lot of women from within the group, but it's going to be a lot of, you know, pieces of people's stories that we can help use to uplift ourselves and kind of help give us hope to relate with other people and to, you know, kind of hone in on some topics that are really important to women in general.
Awesome. And I will say I'm a member of Brittany's group. So go check it out. It is empowering and uplifting. And yes, so all of those things. So
thank you.
So excited for you. I'm excited that we connected, probably less than a year ago at this point, but
yeah, that's true. Yeah,
when I was starting to leave. So I'm so glad we connected. Thank you for being here and sharing all of your information with everybody. I really, really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks again, Nikki.
All right, ladies, thank you so much for listening to my interview with Brittany. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you got some really great information. Please go follow her on all of the social media places. Check out her website. Check out her information. And if you feel empowered, join her Facebook group, Set to Rise. I'm in there. She's in there. It is a beautiful, beautiful group to be a part of. And her podcast is coming out soon. And as soon as it is, don't you know, I will most definitely share it. Thank you so much for being with me here today. Thank you so much for joining me. And until next time.